Thank the Lord for that victory in Jesus this morning. Very thankful that there is a place that we can each one have victory. And that means that whatever your battle or your trial or your temptation or your struggle or your weakness is, there is a place of victory that we can have in Jesus Christ. It is not in our own strength. It's not going to be found in our own power, but it is through the power of Christ that we can live a victorious life. I am thankful for that privilege. This morning, if there was someone that knew someone was out to kill you, would you like him to come and tell you that? Come and let, you know, give you some forewarning that someone was out looking for you to kill you? Would you like someone to let you know that? If you knew someone was going to break into your house tonight, would you like, if I knew that, would you like me to come to you after service and say, just to let you know, there's someone that's going to be breaking into your house tonight and their plan is to steal everything that you have? Would you like to have that knowledge? Because you would prepare yourself for that eventuality, wouldn't you? Well, this morning, without giving too much credit to the murderer and to the thief, I want us to be aware that there is a wicked one that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. There is one this morning that is out to steal from you your joy. There is one that is trying to steal your peace. There is one this morning that is trying to kill your spiritual life. If you have some life this morning, there is one that is out trying to kill you spiritually. There is one that is out trying to destroy your home. If you are married today, there is one that is out trying to wreck your marriage. There is one that is out there today that is trying to destroy families. There is one this morning that is trying to split the congregation. There is one that is trying to bring disunity among God's people. There is one that is trying to do, that has some snares laid. And he has some traps put out there for you personally. You see, we take comfort this morning to know that God knows our name. That encourages me. When the Lord looks on, He doesn't just see us all sitting here in this congregation here. He's looking down, and God knows Michael. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses, and I say, thank you, Lord, for knowing all of that. But there is also another one that knows my weaknesses. There is another one that knows my strengths, and he knows certain areas that he has a design to put a trap for me, to get me caught up. So, you may not be jumping up and down with joy this morning because of the message, but there is one that is out, and he has a trap laid with your name on it this morning. The scripture, and we're going to read it in a little bit, but there's a scripture that talks about that wicked one. That wicked one. There is one that has, he doesn't have good thoughts towards you. How many times do you see that verse written on signs and bookmarks and things that I know the plans that I think towards you, they're thoughts of peace and to bring you to an expected end. We say, oh, that's comforting. But at the same time, there is that wicked one this morning. And he also has designs for your life. We're not going to end this message in defeat. Just, that's a little foreshadowing. I'll just tell you what's going to happen. We do not need to be afraid and live in fear of that wicked one. But we would be wise this morning to recognize that wicked one, to identify him, know where he's working, know how he's working, and then know how we can defeat him. I was not in the adult Sunday school class. I did see it written on there, how to overcome. keys to overcoming. I don't know what all was said, but I probably would be right in saying, keep in mind the keys to overcoming what? That wicked one. There was, I'd like to illustrate that wicked one this way, and I know I have shared this before, but there were two lions that were, they were called the Tsavo lions, and different people pronounce it differently, but these were lions that were in 1898, there was a railroad that was being built across the Great Rift Valley that extended across Kenya, across Uganda, and there were thousands of people working on this railroad. And there were many, many camps along this railroad where the construction was going on. And it so happened that workers started disappearing. And at first they didn't know why. People would disappear from the camp. And what they came to recognize and realize that there were two man-eating lions that were in that area, and they became known as the Tsavo lions. And at night, these lions would come into the camp, and they would grab hold of someone and take them out of the camp and eat them. And this wasn't just one or two or three or four or five people. The statistics is a little uncertain. There are some that say that it was in the hundreds of people that were killed. Most likely, there are some that think about 130. According to some of the writings, it was just 30. But it was enough to bring great fear on thousands of workers. Because when the lion would roar at night, people would know the lions are out. How would you feel knowing there were man-eating lions? How would you feel to walk outside camp in the dark knowing that there was a man-eating lion that might be lying in the bush? Do you not think you would be watching and observant? I baptized once and it was Ghana. I was baptizing and after we got out of the water, they said, yes, there's a crocodile that lives down there. I was like, well, thanks for telling me. Because the reality was, and it was, the water was very low, it was swampy, it was, and I was down there just all trying to get people, it was a job just to get them under the water. And if I would have known that, I would have been distracted. Because I would have been watching for the crocodile. There is a wicked one this morning that is lying in wait, and his purpose is to destroy as many Christians as he can. And you're on his list. These lions, these Tsavo lions, they would come in, and as they destroyed and ate more and more people, they got more aggressive. These were enormous lions. These were enormous. I think one of them measured over 9 feet. It was over 9 feet long. These were big lions. They were maneless male lions, they said. And these lions were getting very aggressive, so the workers would build thorn hedges around the camps to protect themselves, and they would light fires to try to keep the lions away. But even with all of that, the lions would come and they would leap over those thorn hedges, and they would come into the camp and grab someone and take them out. One of the men there, they said there were times, his writing said, there were times that they could actually hear the lions outside of the camp. And this would be a little too gruesome here, but they could hear the crunch of bones and the purring of the lions. Because their purpose was to destroy. Do you know there is someone that is more powerful than that, that is out to destroy our soul this morning? And it should cause us to be watchful. They said that when the lions would roar, the message would just spread down these miles of camps. And the message would go and they would say, beware, brothers, the devil is coming. because they knew the lion was there, and they say they would hear a shriek and one less person would show up at work the next morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That wicked one is as a roaring lion. And I believe that if you were out camping and you knew there was a man-eating lion, it would change where you made your camp. It would change how you left, what you left laying around. I don't think you would let the campfire burn out, would you? You would keep the fires lit so you could be aware and see what was going on. Folks, it would behoove us this morning to keep our spiritual fires lit so we can recognize the enemy for who he is. It's one of the problems if we get lean in our soul and we start getting spiritually lazy and the fire starts going out, we're going to not recognize the enemy when he starts coming around our life as well. I've seen it happen many times. People are not diligent in their spiritual life. They're not diligent about coming to service. They're not diligent about their prayer life. They're not diligent about daily walking with God. And through time, the enemy takes advantage of them and they fall into one of his traps. Do you know that we can partially, it light exposes? And if we will walk in the light of the Lord, it will expose the enemy for where he is. He's still going to be there, but at least I can identify and say, okay, that's the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood this morning, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Too many times in our life when you're going through a rough thing, have you ever identified someone as the problem? They are the problem. If they would change this, if this circumstance would change. Do you know this morning that we should not be fighting against one another? I spoke about how the wicked one would like to destroy homes. Do you know that the problem should cease to be between husbands and wives? If husbands and wives would recognize we have a common enemy, and it is the devil. Instead of quarreling, instead of going through the things where people having marriage problems, what they go through, if they could recognize the enemy is trying to put a divide in the home, then let's work together to defeat the enemy. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The same thing applies amongst God's people. When the enemy would like to bring disunity, many times people start pointing fingers. But folks, that's not what our fight is against this morning. There is a wicked one as a lion that is trying to divide, and the enemy would like to isolate you from the body. Isn't that how lions hunt many times? Out in the wild, if there's a herd of animals, who will they prey on? The straggler, right? The one that's off on the side. The enemy wants you to feel isolated. So let's take note of this. If you feel isolated this morning, where's it coming from? Do you think it's because everybody in the congregation doesn't really accept you and like you? Has anybody ever wondered that? They just don't accept me. I'm just not really one of the group. Who is it that's telling you that? Well, you don't really think that. No. It is that wicked one. Because he knows if he can, let me back up a moment. Isn't it really odd that if we just went around the room this morning, would you think it would be possible if everyone said they felt a little bit alone and maybe not really apart? Do you think there's a possibility that the majority of people might say that? And then my question, then who is the body? If everybody feels isolated and everybody feels a little rejected, like I'm not really part, then who is part? Who is it that brings that kind of thinking? It's the wicked one. Because if we feel isolated, We don't feel the commitment to the body like we ought to feel. And then we think I can do it by myself. And if we get more by ourselves, we are more prone to be attacked by the wicked one. Folks, and if you don't believe me, there are countless people that have lost their lives to the devil because they separated themselves from the body of Christ. And it was because they thought, this person doesn't accept me, and this person did that, and this person said that. Wait a minute. We have an enemy this morning, and it's the devil. So that means that in homes, in marriages, in families, in congregations, we need to be united and recognize we have an enemy, and it's the devil. It's a wicked one. Just like those lions wanting to isolate it, we need to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. But we need to be sober. You know what it means to be sober? Sober. Means to not be intoxicated. When you are intoxicated, your mental capacity is diminished. You don't think as logically as you ought to, and you think you're logical. You see, that's the thing about intoxication. You think you're thinking as good as you always do. Well, it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. And we may say, well, I'm all right on the alcohol part. Folks, we can get intoxicated with the things of this world. Be sober. It's one of the reasons why it's not always about, well, is that sin? If it's not sin, I can do it. How does it affect your sobriety? How does it affect your thinking? It's one of the reasons we need to be careful in our lives. It's not always because it's sin, but it's I want to be sober that I can watch where the enemy's working. And if I begin to follow after the things of the world, even the things that are not sinful, I can get overcharged. And I can get so caught up in my mind that I'm so focused on lawful things that I fail to be watching for the enemy where he works. And so the scripture exhorts us, be sober and be vigilant. Be watchful. Folks, we're not in heaven yet. Which means that the enemy is still out there to steal, kill, and to destroy. Once we get to heaven, folks, we won't have to be looking around for the enemy because he won't be there. But as long as we are in this life, even in a walk of salvation, we must be watching where the enemy is working that we might avoid the traps and the snares of the devil. So let's, Lord, help us then to recognize where the enemy is and who he is. Too many times the enemy has been mislabeled and misidentified. And when it's misidentified, we will use up too much spiritual, emotional, and physical energy on this one and that one in this circumstance rather than recognizing, I see the enemy working right here. And when you know who the enemy is, then you know where to fight, right? But too many times the enemy wants to get us distracted. I think this would solve some marriage problems. Because the devil does not like unity. In the home, in the congregation, in the workplace, wherever. The devil doesn't want unity. But we need to recognize and be united against our common enemy. And recognize it's not one another. His purpose this morning, the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about. He's prowling. He's prowling. He's out seeking whom he may devour. You know what it means to devour? It means to gulp down. Have you ever seen someone sit down at the table and you say, you're devouring your food? Just slow down a little bit. You're devouring. That means they're just gulping it down. In other words, they're not tasting it. Some of the young people went over to Askinoski Chocolate in Springfield. They make chocolate bars, and they're expensive chocolate bars. And they will tell you when you eat their chocolate, at least. Now, Hershey's, they're not going to give it as much credibility. But if you eat an expensive chocolate bar, you don't just take the bar and just gulp it down. You need to smell it. And warm it up with your fingers. Just take a little piece and get it warm and then put it in your mouth and just let it melt and savor that chocolate. You can almost taste where, what kind of, trees that grew around it and what kind of the minute little flavors that are in it. And they want you to savor it. You know, this morning, the devil doesn't care about you. He's wanting to just devour. And you know, the devil doesn't care how long it takes to get you. You know, some people, we hear about these big sins that someone just fell away. But normally, do you know, backsliding is a process, usually. It doesn't have, I knew one man that woke up one day and he went out and he got drunk and he repented the next day. Normally things don't happen that way. It's a process of not being quite as diligent as you ought to be. Not being as fervent in your walk with God as you ought to be. And then through a process of time. See, it does, you don't just wake up and say, I think I'll backslide today. It doesn't usually happen that way. It happens from getting isolated from God, from His people. It comes from a process of not taking time to walk with the Lord. Without taking time to abide in Christ, that we might bear the fruit of Christ. And so then, the enemy doesn't care how long it takes. I think about the enemy's design this morning. Do you remember over in Luke in the 22nd chapter? And verse 31 and 32, that Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Simon, Simon. He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thine brethren. Satan has desired to have you this morning. You believe that? He knows exactly where you're at today. If you're not saved this morning, the devil is going to do everything he can to keep you from yielding your life to Jesus Christ. And if you are saved and have been walking with God, the enemy knows the areas that maybe you're questioning God. He knows the areas that you're weak in the flesh. And the enemy has a plan. Satan has desired to have you. Do you know that should not make us weaker this morning, but it should make us stronger? Because when we know we have a foe, when we know how the enemy is working, then we can begin to seek God to strengthen those areas where the enemy has laid his traps. The devil is, as we identify him, and because of time, I'll tell you where it is, but in John chapter 8, verse 44, John 8, 44, Jesus was speaking and he told the Pharisees, he said, you are of the devil and the lust of your father you will do. Now this identifies who the enemy is. He said he was a murderer from what? From the beginning. The devil never, Satan never had good designs. At least in the words of Christ. There's a lot of theology books that you can pick up that tell me differently. But if I just turn to the Bible, Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And it said, and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So what does the devil lie about? Let's recognize that wicked one. Has the devil ever told you something? You think the devil's interested in telling you the truth? They don't really like you. Where'd that come from? The devil. And what is the devil? He's a liar. You're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're going to fail. You know you failed before. You can do it again. Who is that? Isn't that the wicked one? Folks, the devil is a liar. It's never going to get better. It's never going to change. Who is it that's saying that? Is that God? It's the devil. And what is the devil? He's a liar. All right. Can we recognize that in our life this morning? It's not my job to get in the middle of your life. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But can you, in your personal life this morning, recognize things that the devil has been whispering in your ear? And this morning, can you start resisting it in the faith? Can you start recognizing where the enemy's been working? And when he comes to try to convince you that things will never be different, things are never going to change, where is that coming from? It's coming from the devil, and Jesus told me that he is a liar. Which means if you know someone's a liar, what do? Do you accept what a liar tells you? No, you don't believe him, do you? You lie to me once, the next time I'm just going to be a little, I'm not sure about this. You lie to me twice, the third time you tell me something, I can love you and forgive you, but you can be guaranteed I'm not going to make major decisions based on what you told me. Because they're a liar. The devil is a liar, and too many Christians are operating off of things that the devil is whispering in their ear. It's why marriages are breaking up. It's why families are being split apart. It's why congregations have fallen away. It's why people individually have lost their soul because they were giving the devil too much credibility. He's an adversary. He's against you this morning. The devil, I know it's so ridiculously simple, it's true. The devil is not your friend. So why do we entertain discussion with the enemy? Have you ever had a discussion with the enemy? Kind of rationalized things and talked and this back and forth? Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine. And if anybody should be labeled a swine, it's the devil. Because you're not going to convince him. You're not going to change his mind. So why should I waste my mental energy arguing with the devil other than saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out. Rebuke the devil and he will what? Flee from you. I am thankful this morning that there is still power in Jesus Christ that we can rebuke the wicked one. But sometimes people are rebuking the wrong thing. If I come to my wife and I say, I rebuke you, do you think that's going to work real well? Think it's going to work real well to come to the congregation? I say, I rebuke the congregation in Jesus' name. You think that's going to really accomplish a lot? I don't think it will. I rebuke myself. Well, sometimes we need to do that one maybe. But do you know that there is something when we can identify the enemy is working, we need to resist the devil steadfast. Rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus, and the scripture says he will flee from you. Because I'm not going to entertain him. I'm not going to sit down and prepare a table and dine with the wicked one. But I think the devil, folks, let me just come down where we live. I think too many saints are entertaining the wicked one. I hope I'm wrong. But I fear that sometimes we give him too much time. And I'm not wanting to give him too much time this morning because he has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy has been defeated. Did you all read Revelation 12 in Sunday school? They overcame him. The accuser, not yet. Well, we're going to jump ahead then. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. You can read it in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 to 12. He said, the accuser of our brethren has been, which accused them before God day and night. He's been cast down. And they overcame him. They overcame that wicked one by the blood of the Lamb. Folks, there is victory over the wicked one this morning. Where the enemy is working in your personal life, and you may say, I am weak and I just have had a pattern of failure. You can overcome failure, overcome the wicked one through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Not just the easy sins. He will cleanse us from all sin. The blood of Jesus. Folks, when you're saved, The blood of Jesus isn't something just to save us. There is power in the blood to keep us saved. The Lord forgave me of my sin, but thank God when the devil comes and tempts, and does God, the devil tempt saints? Are we ever spiritual enough that we're not tempted anymore? No, but he will with the temptation do what? Make a way. He'll make a way to escape, that we don't have to fall back where we came from, which means there is power in the blood to save, and there's power in the blood of Jesus to keep us saved. So when the wicked one comes and he's working in my life, I can resist him, but I can plead the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord, I'm feeling really weak here. I need the blood of Jesus to be applied to keep me from going back to where you brought me from. There is power to overcome the wicked one through the blood of Jesus and by the word of their testimony. In other words, when God has done something for you, don't be quiet about it. Testify to what God has done and expose the enemy. Folks, the enemy works under the cover of darkness. So if you're trying, well, I'm just be quiet about this and we try to cover up, that's where the enemy works. But bring it out into the light and testify to what God has done, and you will find power over the enemy. And they love not their lives unto death. It was talking about the focus of our love and our consecration. That, Lord, I'm willing to follow you no matter what. Folks, I'm not going to give room for the wicked one then. Not going to give place to him. Submit yourselves to God. James 4:7. Let's read it. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What do we do first? Submit to God. Have I been the only one that's been guilty before of resisting the devil without submitting myself to God? Has anybody else ever done that? It's like you're fighting the devil. Fighting the good fight. And the Lord's saying, you know what? You need to submit to me. Yes, Lord. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. When you submit to God, you then have power from God to resist the devil. But sometimes people are guilty of resisting the devil and they really haven't made that consecration and submission to the Lord first. So, submit yourself to God. And then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're about finished here this morning. Over in Luke chapter 10, in the 17th verse, the disciples had been sent out. And they came back rejoicing, and they said, the devils are subject unto us. Remember that? He said, the devils are subject unto us. Do you know this morning that the devils are still subject to God's people through the power of the blood of Jesus? Y'all heard, well, the experience in Tanzania a few weeks ago. Had that experience multiple times. When the devil has possessed someone with his evil spirits, and that power was broken through the name of Jesus Christ. Seen little girls possessed with the devil convulsing, and saw them delivered by the power of God. Seeing old men basically out of their just almost unconscious, drug up, and through the power of Jesus Christ be lifted up and give God praise. Where does that come from? Where did that come from? This young girl in Tanzania, 17-year-old, beautiful young woman that had to leave school because of witchcraft. Her grandfather was in witchcraft and she got possessed with evil spirits. She had to leave school. She was wandering the streets at night. Her family literally chained and tied her in the house. And there was no way out, and they were about to take her to be permanently in the care of witch doctors. And they brought her to a gospel meeting, and thank God she found deliverance in the name of Jesus. It was not pleasant to see how the devil showed himself when we began to pray for her. But do you know there was a battle that took place? But do you know who won? God did. It was not through any power or righteousness of our own. It was through the power of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you will follow Jesus Christ, when you are tempted, when the enemy has snares that are there, and it seems like you are weak, you can be strong through the name of Jesus Christ. We have victory. Jesus went on to say, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." This morning, I don't want you to leave saying, "Wow, the wicked one, I'm scared." You see those lions of Tsavo out there eating people and pulling them out of the camps? Yeah, I'd say that's scary. And when we recognize the power of the enemy, there ought to be a real soberness that it brings on us. But do not live in fear, because the scripture says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that is in you. And in closing, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, it said, let me just turn and read it. I want to be sure to get this one right. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18, he said, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one," does what? "Toucheth him not." That wicked one, he is there. He is as a lion. But thank God this morning that that wicked one toucheth him not. He can't get to me when I keep myself in the love of God. When I keep myself in the refuge of the cross. When I keep myself covered up by the blood and his righteousness. Yes, the enemy is there. And yes, he's working. And yes, we identify what he's doing. But that wicked one cannot touch me. Folks, there is a place of victory for you this morning. If you've had failure in your life, or maybe you've been listening to the enemy, he is a liar. He's there to destroy you. But if you will place your life in the hands of Jesus Christ, you can overcome all things, and you will be in a safe place because of God's power. So I am very thankful. Maybe we can conclude with singing that song in our book, "That wicked one toucheth him not." And I thank God for it. Amen.